From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, a podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad you joined us for episode number 154 of the program, the podcast we're about to rename the Five Things About Marriage podcast, Leah.
Yep, we're doing our best to come up with five things we know about marriage. That's right.
Well, hopefully five different things about different categories, not just five things about marriage in general. That would be pretty sad if we're 154 episodes into this, we only know five things about marriage. That'd be kind of sad. But we are rolling along this little, we have no idea how long series, how many episodes it's going to be, but we're just kind of talking about some various areas of marriage, family, and as we've said on each of these episodes, we're calling it five things we wish we had known, but we've said, you know, some of these things maybe we knew but didn't know as well, or things we needed to improve on. But just kind of, if we could go back in time, some things we'd make sure maybe we emphasize more, maybe a better way of putting this, mm-hmm. but it just doesn't sound as cool as five things we wish we didn't
know. That's true.
So this time we are talking about five things we wish we had known about not living separate lives. And where this list came from was, if you listened to last episode, which if you didn't, go back and do that. But we kind of made this, the fifth thing on last time's list was don't live separate lives. We thought, well,
that was how to stay connected.
Yeah. Right. And we were like, that's a nice thing to say, but how do you do that? So we kind of made the fifth thing on that list the basis for this list.
Right.
And the basic idea behind this is, Leah, sometimes a couple gets married and because, you know, they've dated, we talked about this in the last program, I think, and you lived in separate dorms at college, mm-hmm. or separate houses, you know, in a town or maybe across the country from each other or something like that. And now you're married, now you're supposed to be together all the time, but a lot of times we treat each other more like roommates than we do spouses.
Well, especially as after you've been, I think for most people, and I think it's sad that maybe it's not always this true, most people start out their marriage and they're, you know, all connected and happy and it's everything's new and exciting and fresh, and then, you know, time goes by, events happen, maybe kids come along. And so this idea is really something I think you need to remember early on so that you can maybe prevent from getting to this place of not, you know, being not being too much living separate lives. It's coming out really, really bad.
We're recording this much later at night than usual. And you know, the idea basically is that sometimes couples get married and yeah, they live in the same house and they sleep in the same bed and all that, you know, sort of thing. But in reality, it's more like almost a business venture, or, you know, Dave Ramsey likes to call it a joint partnership, you know, instead of we're married, you know, we're a couple. And then you realize we're not living a life. I'm living my life and you're living mm-hmm. your life, and we're not really forging a life together.
And it takes you being very intentional, I mm-hmm. think, to not let that happen. That's mm-hmm. what I was trying to say.
You
just, you know, be very intentional about making those things happen in your marriage so that you don't get to this point of living a separate life from your spouse.
Right. So we got five things, of course, and some of these are going to overlap a little bit. In fact, really, just kind of looking through the list we made, it's really only a couple of areas, but we kind of teased each one out a little bit. So number one, and I think this is one of those things that a lot of couples struggle with right from the outset. Especially maybe if they're a little bit younger, you know, they met each other in college or just after college, they've had all their friends, you know, for all these years and that sort of thing. Number one is, don't be with the boys or with the girls more than you're with your spouse. Now,
right.
Notice how we worded that. We're not saying you can never go hang out with your friends. You know, you can't go out with the guys to a ball game or go out with the girls shopping or out to eat or something. That's fine. But a lot of couples, you know, have done that so much through college, or maybe they've been, you know, living on their own in an apartment complex, and they've had, you know, their little girlfriends they go have coffee with all the time, And you look up at the end of a week or a month, and you've done that more than you've gone on dates or outings with your spouse. And that's unhealthy.
And I think some of that comes from, you know, when you're younger, you're dating, or and you have friends. Dating sometimes is just another part of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, just like you spend time with your girlfriend or boyfriend, then you spend time with your friends and everything. But there's a difference in that and carving out time for your girlfriend or boyfriend than that same idea when you're talking about being married. When you're married, you're supposed to be one, a mm-hmm. unit. And that's a word I like to use a lot, or in my mind a lot, about marriage, is that you're no longer, and I think this goes against our culture, to be honest with you, you're no longer yourself, you're a unit with your spouse. And whatever is good for them is good for you because you're together. And when you get out of that idea, then I think a lot of times people start down this road of wanting to still to be true to themselves and having, you know, their own friends and not and it's not that it's a bad thing to have those kinds of relationships mm-hmm. outside your marriage, as far as, you know, just hanging out with the girls or whatever. But I think when we look at it like, well, I've got to make time for this and that, like just having the mentality of you and your spouse are a unit now, so there's not so much of that time away.
Right.
So easily.
Right. And, you know, you go back to your word. It's intentional. It's fine to have, you know, those long-time girlfriends or long-time guy friends you hang out with. That's fine. And in a lot of ways, that's healthy. But if we're not careful, that can still dominate our free time or our, you know, quote-unquote friend time, when our spouse should also be our best friend. Mm-hmm. We should want to spend more time with our spouse than we do with just our guy friends or our, you know, our lady friends or whatever you want to call them. So, you know, really be intentional about looking at how much time am I spending there. So that's number one. Number two, don't let your careers define you. Mm-hmm. It is really easy, especially if both spouses work outside the home, for us to be so caught up in our jobs, whatever they happen to be. And this could be literally any line of work. So we're not talking about because I'm a preacher, you know, preacher married to a school teacher, or, you know, this could literally be any line of work, that each spouse gets so caught up in the career that they become a career person instead of a married person. And if we're not careful, then those careers define who we are instead of I'm married and that should define me far more than what I do for a living.
Right. There again, because you're a unit, and so mm-hmm. your careers are just to support the unit mm-hmm. in one way or the other, mm-hmm. not to tell you who you are. I think it's a good way to look at it too, that the career, when you start feeling that way, you might need to reevaluate that it's serving you and then you're not serving your career.
And the reason we put this on the list as far as not living separate lives is it's really unlikely that both of you will have the same job in the same place at the exact same time. I guess it's possible, and there are a few couples where that's the case, but even if, well, we're both school teachers. Yeah, but you don't teach in the same classroom all day long. That's probably really rare.
And it really starts pulling you apart. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can, and you have to be very careful, you know, that there is a career, is an especially, I mean, someone has to work. And so whether or not maybe the wife chooses to work or not, that is something that people really need to take into consideration. It goes, again, against culture, but to really see that sometimes when you have not just one person working, but two, and you're both pulled away from home and family, sometimes things really suffer. A lot of times people don't want to hear that. But you just have to be very careful that you don't fall into that trap of both being pulled out. I mean, a career is demanding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being at home.
And not just the time, mental energy and all sorts of things.
Being at home and being a homemaker is demanding, but it's a different kind of demanding because you're still at home and in that family unit, so to speak, more. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, just be very careful when both of you are being pulled outside the home, because you're just being pulled separate then.
Right.
Both of you are.
And one thing I'll add to that, you mentioned, you know, being a homemaker, and that's, you know, that's a wonderful thing. But I will say, when children come along,
yes,
one thing that, if the wife is the one staying home with the children, that, yes, she's a mother, and that's a wonderful thing, but she's a spouse first. And even that quote-unquote job, you know, being a mother or, you know, a homemaker or a homeschooling mom or whatever it is, even that can become defining above the fact that she's a wife. And even that can pull away from the unit, to use your word, if you're not careful.
That's true.
And so you have to be, you know, very careful about, be proud of what you do for a living. I'm not saying, oh, it's terrible that I'm a pipe fitter or it's terrible that I'm a school. No, not at all. But a lot of times couples begin to define themselves by their careers instead of as a couple. And it begins to lead to those separate lives because I start to pour more of myself into being a whatever it is that I do for a living instead of being a spouse and making sure that we're growing closer together. Number three also kind of has to do with the idea of, you know, careers and those sorts of things in a sense. And that is combined finances. It is no longer your money and my money. It is
our money.
Our money. And that doesn't matter. Like in our case, I'm the one that brings home the money. You know, I go to a job outside the home, and I'm supported by the church. You are a homemaker and a homeschooling mom. You don't have a, you know, side hustle. You don't have a part-time job. If I made $10,000 a year or $250,000 a year, that's our money. That's not my money.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true if both of you have careers. It is not his income and her income. It is our income. And A lot of couples begin to pull apart, not because one makes more than the other. That can play a role in, you know, to some degree. I've seen that a little bit, but usually that is a minor part of it. It is more, he makes $60,000, she makes $60,000, instead of we make $120,000. What are we going to do with it? And becomes totally separate lives.
No, and some of it, it's just your mentality. You have to make that decision that you're going to be one, that, you know, keep going back to that, united in a union instead of just, we decide we're going to spend a lot of time together. I mean, and so if you can get into that mentality, it makes things a lot easier with everything we've talked about. But this is one for sure with your combined income. And, you know, the truth is, if you talk to a lot of people about that, everybody always wants to think, let's just say for whatever reason, a family or a husband and wife decide, for whatever reason, that they have separate accounts, and, you know, my job pays into this account, yours, and maybe they divide up everything, and maybe they have decided, here's what my money goes to, but there's just so many things that can go wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could make a list of, here's the things that can go wrong with that. And most people don't want to ever just come to terms with, maybe we need to reconsider this. Like, I think everybody always thinks, oh, we'll be fine. But it's just a dangerous road to go on.
Well, and especially if there's not much communication about money. Because, yeah, it could be smart to a certain degree where, you know, she makes a certain amount of money, and that happens to be enough that pays the mortgage and something else, and so that just comes out of that particular account. Okay, but are there ever conversations about that, or is it so on autopilot that you've never really talked about this anymore? And it, again, it's the intentionality
and
of it.
It can be the sign. Like, if somebody says, well, we just caused us too many arguments over this because maybe one person's this way with the money more, and I'm this way. But even then, that's a sign of a problem in your marriage that needs to be worked on, not swept under the rug by taking the easy road out. I mean, you know, that's just my two cents. And I think what we're trying to do is say, here's what we wish, you know, we've never had separate accounts. So it's not like we did that, but we've seen people who've done that and it hasn't worked out.
Right. And, you know, the way, you know, people say, well, does that mean that, you know, Leah doesn't have a job outside the home, so she has to ask Adam if she can buy a pack of gum? No. There's a line item in our budget that's just called Leah's money, and there's an amount of cash every month that you have in the budget that sometimes you spend it on stuff for the house, sometimes you spend it on clothes, sometimes you spend it to treat yourself to you know, $17 cups of coffee. I don't know. Whatever it's all. And I really don't give a care, because what we've agreed on, that's just Leah's blow money, you know. And some people say, well, that's just patronizing. It's not patronizing at all, because we've agreed on it. And there's sometimes extra money. We talk about that. Where does that need to go? Instead of just, well, Adam makes X number of dollars a month, so Adam decides every penny. No, we decide, because no matter how much I make or you make, it's our money. And there are times where we blow money because it's fun to spend money. There are times we give money to other things. There are times, but it's all combined. And again, the way around that is, from time to time, you just have a line on the budget. This is his amount or her amount that they can spend on whatever in the world they want, but it's agreed on. Instead of, well, this is in my little account, that's in her little account, nobody knows what's in. That's dangerous.
It is, and it's also dangerous. I mean, in a worst case scenario, that somebody's doing something with their money and you have no idea. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have your account, there's just more accountability that way. Mm-hmm. But you know.
So if you want to avoid living separate lives, combine your money. I guarantee there may be some arguments, and they may be very helpful arguments, especially once you start working through, the bigger decisions of the big rocks in the budget, but then also the small rocks at the end, like, hey, we got $8 left on the budget. What are we going to do with all this expendable income? My goodness, this is crazy.
Coffee.
That's like $13 now. Number four is to find common interests, common hobbies, those sorts of things. Now, that does not mean if she hates hockey that she and he loves it, that she has to become a raving lunatic hockey fan. Or if she loves shopping for dresses, that he has to become an expert on Kohl's. But it does mean there has to be something out there at some point that both of you actually like doing together and you pursue it. It can be something everybody else in the world thinks is boring or dumb that you like doing together, but you like doing it together, and it's a way to, you know, to use an old phrase, Leia, it's just a way to let your hair down together and just enjoy something you just pursue. It could be reading, it could be a favorite television series, it could be, you know, exercise, it could be, you know, whatever. But find that and do those things and do them together, or, you know, do them in ways that work together. Why is that so important as far as not living separate lives?
Well, I mean, a lot of it's just about the time. And also, if you're doing something that you're really interested in and you share that, then that builds good memories together. That's a part of you that you can enjoy with a part of your spouse that you love. And, I mean, there's just so many benefits to finding the satisfaction with each other in a friendly, you know, competitive way, whatever, you know, a hobby, and whether you're doing a hobby or just some other kind of interest. To me, that would be why it was such a good, it's a good idea.
It could be recording a podcast. Yeah, but the idea is, you know, sometimes, I think sometimes you each come in with an interest, and you knew this dating, you know, he likes baseball and she likes whatever, you know, horses or something. And you think that she has to become a baseball lover and he has to become a horse lover. Well, maybe not. But there's got to be something out there that you both like.
Right.
And, you know, these are the couples sometimes, we go out to eat at a different restaurant every 2 weeks, and I'm thinking, you all are crazy. But that's their thing. And they just enjoy that time together, trying a new restaurant out, you know, and they obviously have more money than we do, but, you know, that's what they enjoy doing.
And really, the more you can find, the better. You know, I mean, I just think you don't want to get to the point in your marriage to where you're like, well, we don't really do any, you know, just, it's just so important to try not to be separated, you know, all of the time, and you do your thing, he does his thing, and, you know, get home at night, and then, you know, stay busy with kids or responsibilities.
Or we're still doing your thing and him doing his thing.
Yeah, get home from, then you go out and do your thing, he does his thing, and then you wonder, like, why have we lost our, you know, first interest, you know, with what we had with each other, and why are things not like they used to be? Well, probably because you're not sharing things together anymore.
Well, let's choose a different word for what you just said, and I don't mean this sexually. Why have we lost our intimacy? Right. It's because you're not doing stuff together.
Right.
That's pretty much a lot of times what it boils down to.
It's like you said, most time when you get married, you've found that interest in one another somehow. And so when that has, you know, after you, especially if you've been together for a while, that can really be hard to hold on to. And it's really especially hard to hold on to that if you're not spending time together and mm-hmm. not doing things together.
So that leads us to number five, which is super controversial in our world. It's going to be one of those things that it's a earth-shattering concept. I mean, we spent, 35, 40 hours trying to word this one, trying to figure out, you know, what's the secret to not living separate lives here? We're not talking about, you know, philosophical things, but how can we make this practical? How about this one? Spend time at home together. Oh, wow. I mean, I know.
Spend more time at home.
Yeah. I mean, be careful if you're jogging. Don't jog off the road. You know, don't fall into a ditch or something as you listen to that. But here's the thing. Home should be a wonderful word. And home should be a wonderful concept. But if you're going there and I'm going here and we're dragging the kids over here and we're going over there and we're doing all this stuff, it is really hard to connect as a couple, if you're not actually in your home together and just building those simple memories of, you know, cooking meals together, eating meals together, even dumb stuff, watching TV shows mm-hmm. together, you know, working in the yard together. I mean, it's a marriage podcast, sleeping together. You know, if you're never at home or it's only to fall asleep, you're probably basically living separate lives.
Right.
And home needs to be more than just where you lay your head down at night. It needs to be the base of this is where our relationship is building from.
I think we're so much so in a society that the way you have fun, the way you're fulfilled, so many people feel like that's outside the home. We've lost that, really, where home is really your center and your base. You know, it just becomes more of a place you, like you said, like just come home to sleep and get up and go the next morning. And, you know, I think that can really hurt your marriage and your family, but we're talking specifically about marriage now. I think it can really hurt that because it is really if you're not at home, it's encouraging, especially unless you're doing stuff out together all the time. But if you are at home, you're going to be together. And so it's just, to me, that encourages you more to be spending time together. But it's like, again, we say this all the time, not to say that, you know, you can't be out and do things together and you know, if you're more of a extroverted kind of people, but chances are, one of you's extroverted and one of you introverted, usually. I mean, I don't know if is that accurate? Am I saying that right?
Or oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm more extroverted than Adam, but I don't consider myself an extrovert, really.
But you're still more extroverted.
But
than
I'm Adam. Still more extrovert. So really, you know, one of you probably is going to want to be home more than the other. But even the one who likes to go and do, we need to try to see the benefit of being at home and spending time together at home, not just for your family's sake, but for your marriage's sake.
Right. And there's also something, and you know, I'm not trying to go against what we said a moment ago, but having common interests in doing things together. There's also something just comforting about knowing your spouse is in the same house you are.
Right.
You know, it's not you're keeping tabs on them. That's not it. But even if, you know, I'm up in the bedroom reading a book and you're downstairs watching a TV show, there's still something comforting just to know that we're in the same house together. And things are okay. And yeah, we should be together more often doing things. But even just being in the same building, you know, the right. same home, there is something extremely comforting about that. This is our place. This is our place of safety. You know, whether it's a little one-room apartment or a mansion, there's just a place mm-hmm. where the two of us can be the two of us and just have our life. And it's, you know, but too many couples, like you said, think we have to build a life on everything else instead of what's wrong with just being in the same house together.
Right.
And, you know, yes, I'm a homebody. Yes, I'm an introvert. So, I come at this really passionately. But it's easy to see sometimes couples that are basically never at the house together, and then you see them and it's like they're just, what's the word? They're harried. Mm-hmm. Remember that old word?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's they may have spent a lot of time together, but it was always just this activity and that activity and this activity and this activity, and it's like, do you all ever actually relax together?
Right.
Do you have any just calm stuff you do together? Are you ever, you know, like just sitting on the couch holding hands? Does this stuff ever happen in your marriage?
And sometimes we choose that for ourselves. You know, I mean,
a lot of times,
you know, if you start talking about people being busy, and I mean, I'm guilty. You know, like, oh, I've been so busy. Oh, I've been so busy, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, a lot of that I've chosen.
Yeah, I agreed to do all these things.
You know, and so we can't. You know, if we really want to slow down, like in this particular podcast point, is, you know, to really connect with each other and especially not be so going separate ways all the time in our marriages, then learn to say, I've made some decisions that I may have to pull back on, or we're going to have to stop this and be more intentional about making some better decisions here. I mean, that's just called maturity to me. Like, you know, recognize where you're going wrong and you try to fix it. But we have to make that decision, though, before it gets to the point. And, you know, these podcasts that we're doing, really, I would say the main point to me, at least for me, is that I want to see and do everything we could do to help couples not get to the place. So many people get to a bad place in their marriages, and it starts with little things like this, mm-hmm. that they're just not doing.
Right.
And, you know, nobody ever wants to talk about the little things when you got a big problem, because you feel like you're downplaying it. What you need to do is start now fixing the little things so you don't have a big problem later on.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, when you heard the topic, the title of this episode, you may have thought of 35 other things than we mentioned. There's really a ton. I mean, I'll be honest. We didn't write anything spiritual on this list. Obviously, one of the ways you avoid them separate wise is be connected spiritually. I mean, this was more just a practical, you know, day in, day out kind of list. But the point, like you said, is simply to be intentional. You know, if I wanted a roommate, I wouldn't have gotten married. Let's just call it like it is. We would have got an apartment, got a roommate, lived the rest of my life. I want a spouse, you know, and so, but oftentimes we treat each other like roommates or like business partners instead of let's actually grow together, but we can't do that if we're never together. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully these things are just reminders of, you know, time things, money things that just help you, you know, realize that this is not about living separate lives. This is about building one life together. So we got to think of some more five things list, Leah. This is kind of starting to become a thing now. I don't know. I actually have a few ideas, but don't want to give them away because you may think those are terrible. But we will come together in our home and have a conversation about how terrible my ideas are. And we'll go forward. So I hope these have encouraged you, and I'm enjoying these little list episodes. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. We may change the name of the podcast. I'm only halfway kidding about that. Anything else we need to say on this topic? Mm-hmm. Since it's like really late at night, and
it's been an insane day. It's been crazy.
It has. Just proof that we have crazy lives too.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we're back again in 2 weeks. We've stuck with that the last few times. We're doing our best. I hope you know that we are. Recording late enough at night, you know that we are. Leah, I love you.
I love you.
And until next time, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.